Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I am way beyond blind can-do enthusiasm at this point. Now deep into fear and panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 21, After Hours. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, a couple of bits of podcast business. First of all, coming up in the club this Friday, May 8th, it's Again With This 287. We've already alerted you it was coming. Let's watch Chad Michael Murray in Freaky Friday, a.k.a. the best film of 2025.
If you didn't say it, I was going to have to prompt you.
Thank Correct. You. You can find it on Disney Plus, and we'll link that in the show notes.
And as another penultimate season of an Again With This show draws to a close, that means it's time for a call-in show. Our number is 210-767-2237. Vent about any of the shows that we've covered, Bev Niner, Melrose Dawson's, or make your case for what show we should cover next.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Call it in, buddy.
Yep, call it in. Or send an email. You could send a voice file to hello@againwiththispodcast.com, but get those messages and voice prompts in by May 20th, 210-767-2237.
I just want to let you know, Battle Beyond the Stars, it's not even a TV show. I don't even know what I'm thinking of. It's a movie. There was a X-Files era space show that I'm thinking of. I'll let you know, because I know everybody's like, Dave, you got to figure this out.
Yeah.
I mean, now I have to look and see if there's any people that are relevant to our purposes in it. Looks like, oh, excuse me, it's distributed by Roger Corman's New World Pictures. He was a 90210 guest star.
He was.
Screenplay by John Sayles. Jesus Christ. What is this thing? Damn.
Oh my God.
All right.
I'm listening.
All that info and more. Again with this podcast.com/club. And if you were not able to write down that phone number, 210-767-2237, it is on our website. Go to the About tab to find it.
I figured it out. It's called Space Above and Beyond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah, let's get into it. There's just really one plot we were not able to untangle. All the older ladies are chasing younger dudes while Joey and Jack remember they actually have classes. Pacey comes back to what dialogue soon confirms is Danny's place to find Jack still studying there. Even if it did not come up narratively later, we would know whoever decorated this place with not one but two Warhol knockoff silkscreen prints of martini glasses. Also made the aesthetic choices of civilization, although I doubt even in a rental, a professional chef would have an electric stove. You can see evidence of all of this in the visual aids.
Yeah, it's just like the Pier 1 returns counter threw up all over Danny's apartment. Good luck, Pacey.
Yeah.
Hope it's cheap.
Jack reminds us about his own self-destructive actions in Florida 2 episodes ago and that he is at risk of flunking out if he doesn't ace all his finals. He also exposits that what he's studying at the moment is advanced calculus, which no academic advisor should have ever permitted him to do as a freshman unless he's a math major, which evidently he is not.
Yeah, this is not the only insane class name or assignment in the episode. We will get to it.
Pacey invites Jack to stay there and study as long as he wants. And when Jack says Grams and Mr. Smalls have probably wrapped up choir practice so he's clear to go home, Pacey asks if he really thinks they asked him to leave so they could sing hymns. And Jack basically says he has to believe that, which I thought was kind of funny. As Jack is heading out, Pacey drops the bombshell about Alex kissing him. After stating for anyone who wasn't sure that Alex's kiss was sexual harassment, Jack, who has not even finished ruining his own life by keeping the huge secret about his grades, immediately tells Pacey not to tell Audrey about it, since Pacey didn't initiate the kiss and Alex is never going to tell Audrey herself. Pacey counters that honesty is the cornerstone of his relationship with Audrey, which, like, I don't know, sometimes. And that when she kissed her ex in Florida, she told Pacey. Jack and his haystack hair finally figure it out. Clip two.
She's hot, right? Come on, Pace, fess up. She's a total hottie, right? I really don't see how that's relevant, okay? I'm a victim here. A victim of unwanted sexual advances. Pace. Okay, perhaps not entirely unwanted. So, how hot is she? Why don't you ask her?
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hi, I'm Jack. You, my friend, are in trouble.
I don't wanna wait for another. He is in trouble, partly because he takes Jack's terrible advice, but we'll get there.
Yeah, and partly because the writers can't let anyone be happy for longer than 12 minutes.
No. After the credits, Pacey tells Alex, who is in a much more flattering, like, wrap top, although it is once again shiny satin in the daytime, not what I would do. He says he's flattered, but no means no. Alex is not there to jump Pacey's bones, as she puts it. She wanted to apologize for kissing him and give him a gift. We later find out is a bottle of champagne, but I'm going to guess WB standards and practices made them cut around it since Pacey's underage, because we never, like, get a clear glimpse of what it is, except it's a bottle.
Yeah.
Alex just got out of a doomed relationship and misjudged the situation between her and Pacey, saying that's exactly why she's still single. Joking, Pacey guesses she means because she kisses the help, but she says it's that she assumes she will get what she wants. She respects that Pacey has a girlfriend, speaking of whom she also wants Audrey to come back as a server. Suspicious. Pacey will pass it on. Alex promises complete professionalism from now on, which I guess means starting right after she mentions how cute he looks in his uniform. They shake hands on it, and then Alex looks around the nice big apartment and comments that she must be overpaying him. Pacey explains that he's house-sitting, and Alex chirps that she's looking for a place. Maybe she can take it, and Pacey can live there rent-free for a bit. They could work out an arrangement. Pacey looks dyspeptic until she promises she is only talking about tenancy. Oh, for sure, man. No doubt.
Oh my God, run away. Run away, everyone.
Then we're in a big reading room at what we later find out is supposed to be the library at Worthington, even though there is a stage in it. Joey has a takeout coffee, and Dawson, across from her watching something on his laptop, is eating chips so loudly she has to shush him. And then he starts giggling so annoyingly that she has to shush him again. He apologizes, but he just can't believe the same guy who made Spinal Tap later brought the world The Story of Us. And it's true, we miss Rob Reiner, and I saw The Story of Us in theaters, but
yeah,
it was not mentioned among his achievements in any obituary. However, this is Spinal Tap is streaming on HBO Max. We linked it in the show notes. If you haven't watched it in a while, watch it. It is still funny.
It really is. Holds up.
Joey grumbles about having so much work to do before her finals, while Dawson gets to watch movies, and he says he has finals too. He has 5 movies to watch. I don't see him taking any notes, and he invites Joey to come with him to watch one of the movies with him in a cinema, so he's not really convincing anyone that he's working that hard. Joey tells the new viewers her straight-A record slipped when she started missing classes to sing in bars, adding one thing she learned this semester. Clip 3.
I'm never going to take a class again where they make you read Beowulf.
I mean, you won't have to.
No.
You're a freshman. That does not explain why you were in Wilder's, like, 500-level writing course, or why you're taking some shit that's called macroeconomics in medieval lit.
I thought that was and medieval lit.
Well, either. Whatever conjunction or preposition you have in there.
No, I mean that they're 2 separate classes.
No. Oh, really? Because that's not how she delivered the line.
No, it's not.
Kind of think that would be an interesting class. There's no way they're letting a freshman into it. You gotta take fucking writing the same paper about blindness and King Lear nonsense that everybody else has had to since the beginning of university time.
Mm-hmm. Joey appreciates Dawson wanting to hang out with her while she's studying, but he has to be quieter. He claims that that is no problem, immediately cracks up when he starts the movie again, and off Joey's glare, decides he's going to just go to the theater now. Then we're at Graham's, where she is trying to stimulate Jack's focus and memory by pumping him full of ginkgo biloba tea. Remember ginkgo biloba? That was a thing everyone was talking
about. Yes.
He doesn't think it's going to be enough. She doesn't know why he's having so much more trouble with this class than his others. And he says he can fudge his way through an English essay, rude, but that you either know calculus or you don't, and he doesn't. Graham's suggests getting help from a classmate, but Jack doesn't know any because he missed so many classes. Feels like someone who actually could help is Graham's new boyfriend who teaches high school geometry, but he is not in this episode, nor is his professional facility with this material mentioned.
Yeah.
Jack can tell Graham's is revving up for an inspiring Bible story. He asks her to save it, and she takes the tea away to make him coffee instead, which is nice.
Yeah, cute. Cute little, like, familial moment there. Mm-hmm. Which, in the absence of Jen, is nice that Graham's gets to do that.
Yes. Dawson is coming out of the theater when Amy, the movie critic, spots him. He says she is kind of late on her review of Sex, Lies, and Videotapes, but she... Videotape, sorry, singular. But she is not there for work. Clip 4.
Pleasure?
No, a date.
Not one and the same?
Not so much.
Oh, God. We were already not saying that then. Like, that's from Mad About You. That was the 90s. Amy assumes that the guy is still in storytelling, the movie where she ditched him, which I guess is supposed to be charming. It's not. It's obnoxious. No.
Jesus. That's Solins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't go on a date to Solins. Ask me how I know. Actually, don't.
They go on from there just as tiresomely. Clip 5.
Seen it?
Storytelling? No interest. So, you just went and saw a different movie?
I left him in there, actually. What kind of a man sucks a Jordan Almond?
You're telling me you walked out on a date because you didn't like the way the guy ate his candy.
You didn't hear the noise he was making. Oh, and when we parked, car cover.
Anybody ever told you you're a very critical person?
Thank you. We all have our gifts. And some of us have figured out how to scam a living out of them.
Very well aware of how you make a living. Let's see, how was it? Despite a truly inspired ending, which should garner him some attention, Mr. Leary's first effort is at times imitative, derivative, and full of unexplored potential.
That's not a slam. Hey, you didn't expect me to go easy on you just because we kissed, did you?
Surprised you didn't critique the kiss.
Who says I didn't? I like your work, Dawson, more than you know. So what about you? Tested the dating waters of insanity?
No, I'm just your... Studying for finals, doing research on a paper for first-time directors.
Smart boy. Hey, you want to see one of my favorite films by a new director?
No.
Sure. It's too early to go to bed. You can go back to my place.
How do you know I'm not a Jordan Almond sucker?
Oh, I know. Anyway, all I keep at my house are Junior Mints.
In the freezer?
Where else?
You're exhausting, both of you. So.
God.
So this.
Yeah, so much of this.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I would love to go in on Dawson for being so dismissive of storytelling, but even though I have a happiness poster framed in my bedroom, I have not seen storytelling either. Sorry.
He was right.
Mm. By the way, in this scene, Amy cannot stop touching Dawson. You can see this in the visual aids. There is actually, when I went to cut that clip, there was one I missed where she touches him on the wrist as well. So,
Yeah.
Her point is obvious.
Yeah, the Junior Mints are a euphemism, and good for you.
So even though Alex told Pacey about hiring Audrey back in the afternoon, Pacey has decided the right time to tell Audrey about it is in the middle of dinner service. Because Audrey is not stupid, she's extremely suspicious of the offer. She has seen how Alex looks at Pacey and thinks that her rehiring Audrey, a famously bad server, is a favor to Pacey, not Audrey, because Alex is horny for Pacey. Audrey continues along this line of inquiry, putting a hand on Pacey's neck to determine that his pulse jumped when she asked if Alex hit on him. Finally, clip 6.
Look, I'm willing to bend the rules on inter-office relationships, but could you please try to keep it private?
Yes, I think we can probably do that, right, honey?
Sure. Well, I'm so glad to have you back, Audrey. Really, you're a vital part of our serving team.
Thanks.
You see?
completely. Having me back is the last thing that woman wants.
Then why would she say it?
Because she knows that there is no way in hell that I ever would.
Oh, what is it that I'm missing here?
Everything! God, I am quitting!
Yeah, stick the landing, girl.
Uh-huh. Trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
At Amy's place, Dawson is condescendingly calling her apartment Bridget Jones Meets Film Geek. Amy has been collecting movies since she was a kid and tries to talk up traffic as Soderbergh finally finding his voice. Dawson doesn't think it's better than Sex, Lies, and Videotape. I don't know if I agree with that. It's definitely not better than Aaron Brockovich or especially Ocean's 11 or Out of Sight, all of which came out before Traffic.
Yep, agree.
Amy complains that Videotape is a throwback to old classics where people just talk and that anytime something happens that you actually want to see, Soderbergh cuts away. Clip 7.
It takes a while for young filmmakers to figure out what they want to say.
That's a pretty broad generalization.
Name a truly original movie by a first-time director.
Reservoir Dogs, Lemmy Stone, Strictly Ballroom, Diner, The Maltese Falcon, Body Heat, Clerks, Do Ordinary People Say Anything?
Okay. I had to turn on the subtitles to confirm he was not shouting out The Family Stone 3 years before it came out. He said Les Mistons, which is François Truffaut's first short film, which I also haven't seen. But he did mention some bangers. I know you agree on Diner and Clerks.
Yeah, I fucking stopped listening after Diner, honestly. Dawson is the MVP of this episode. Goodbye.
Dawson stops in his recitation to ask what Amy is looking at. Clip 8.
You...
I've been pretty engulfed in my studies lately.
Don't tell me. The thesis for your final paper. Soderbergh's first film shows us how subtly provocative the movies can be. That just talk can be an erogenous zone.
You don't agree?
I suppose it depends who you're talking to.
I thought we were going to watch a movie.
You know what? Change of plan.
The word is embroiled.
Thank you. Or buried or drowning, like any of those. Not engulfed.
Yeah, not engulfed. When you're invited over to watch a movie, come on. Mm-hmm. It actually isn't your first day. You have done this before.
Yes.
Come on.
Even if she's a film critic, you're probably not.
Less talky, more bucky.
After sex, they are still annoying. Clip 9.
That happened.
Ugh, maybe you do need Oliver to write for your corny ass. That happened. Whatever, Joss Whedon.
At least put some Alec Baldwin State and Maine delivery on it. See, you're not the only one who could do this, dickhead.
There's more. Clip 10.
I just realized something. This whole business of people asking each other how it was afterwards comes from movies.
Sure, it's an expositional device needed because of the cutaway.
Yeah, there's no cutaway in real life.
No audience to spoon-feed something they weren't allowed to see.
I like that.
Me too.
You like real life? Good? Because you live there? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Also, this is a TV show? You did just cut away?
Mm-hmm.
What doibious strip of, like, meta commentary is this?
Mm-hmm.
Both of you shut up.
Yeah. It gets worse. Dawson turns toward a pile of tapes on his side of the floor and notices The Marjorie Game, directed by Amy Lloyd, in completion of a BFA in filmmaking. And you can see in the visual aids, this tape came to her from Plot Point Labs. That's what's on the label.
I forgot about that. Good old PPL.
I'm gonna steal that, by the way. Oh, here we are at Plot Point Labs. I feel like it's gonna be useful.
Yeah, but it has to be the same pronunciation as the jazz club. Plot Point Labs.
Sorry, I'm parking outside Plot Point Labs.
Different strokes.
She panics and tries to take the tape away as Dawson keeps trying to get it out of her hands, insisting that they have to watch it, but she is very serious about not doing that, and Dawson finally backs off as she huffs. Back in the reading room, Audrey plops into the chair across from Joey and blurts that boys suck. So does taking classes over in summer school, Joey says, but acknowledges that as Audrey's roommate, she's required to listen. When Audrey says she thinks Pacey is cheating on her, Joey confidently chuckles that Pacey doesn't cheat, which is true or has been historically. Audrey can't be convinced, going on about Alex's femme fatale-ishness and that she would keep Audrey around just to keep Pacey happy and off guard. Audrey adds that Pacey's acting like he's hiding something from her. Joey, I guess to try to just shut her up, suggests that it could be a family thing. LOL, Pacey does not care about his family, and Joey knows that. Or a problem with someone he is supervising at the restaurant, like maybe that no one there has less experience than Pacey does, so no one respects him. Or that he's planning to surprise Audrey with a present. Audrey does have a birthday coming up and is successfully distracted with thoughts of the kind of gift she would like Pacey to give her. Joey asks about Audrey's exams, and Audrey pretends to have forgotten, but she just likes it when Joey worries about her and opens a book, giving Joey an adorable grin and wink that almost saves the scene.
Mm-hmm.
At close, Pacey's walking out of the restaurant when he sees Alex in the middle of work she has to finish tonight to get onto management, the parent company. And I don't know what this elevated box is she's working on. I guess it's like the bar that overlooks the floor, but she looks like she's Bob Cratchit at the Counting House, like looking down on him from above. So you have an office, like go work there.
Yeah.
Pacey's concerned about her staying there alone and offers to stick around and do shit in the kitchen, but Alex tells him to get home to, quote, your Audrey, condescending. And they go back and forth until Pacey and the bracelet I've never noticed him wearing before until this scene, don't approve, tell Alex about Joey getting mugged not far from here and basically insisting on walking her and her books back around the corner to where she's staying. Alex purrs about Pacey being a find who needs a partner who can look after him, which Pacey deflects. And finally, Alex agrees to let him walk her home after he really twists her arm. Cut to Jack walking into the frat house as an apparently girl-free party is underway. Jack tries approaching Polar Bear, who gives Jack a margarita and tells him to leave. Mixed messages. Jack has just said he doesn't need a drink when Blossom joins them, saying, Jack McPhee refusing a drink? Guess when you live long enough, you really do see everything. Because he's a prick, in case we forgot. Eric, off to the side, starts eavesdropping as Jack says he needs the notes and class files for his calculus class. Blossom doesn't know what files he means, and even if he did, they wouldn't be available to a non-brother. Eric comes to the edge of the conversation, giving Jack a friendly look, but Jack just wilts and basically begs the guy for help. Blossom repeats there's nothing the brotherhood can do for him, and they go on. Clip 11.
If you want to be a jerk because it's in your nature, fine. But don't stand here and hide behind the bonds of brotherhood. You know, there's a whole world out there full of people who actually do give a crap about other people as individuals. And sooner or later, you're going to have to stop hiding out at this house and join that world, Blossom.
Get a load of Ernest McPhee. You know, you just really need a drink.
What I need is help.
Yeah. They're dicks.
Yeah, they are. Also, like, why would the writers think that Jack would think that this was a good idea? Like, he would email someone, like, actually Eric, and be like, look, you fucking owe me. If you have notes, give them to me.
Yeah. Well, I guess the frats are a protected class, and if you generalize about them, you're a bigot. Messaging from the first half of the season is over, which, you know, good.
Yeah.
Then Dawson's at the door, shirtless and with a couch throw wrapped around his waist to receive a box of Chinese food. Clip 12.
Look at you all, Harrison Ford and working girl.
I'd rather be him at Raiders.
Cuter in the former.
Cooler in the latter.
Yeah. Also, this is one of those mega days that, like, it seems like everyone else is having, like, 3 or 4 days of shit happen to them, and that's not the case. It's a mega night, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why it's called After Hours, that we're supposed to think this is all happening concurrently, and it's just a very, very long night that at least Dawson is not going to sleep through because he's going to keep fucking, believe it or not.
Well, he's 19.
Also, on the Raiders tip, I don't think any of us would mind if he started wearing a hat. If not that hat, then just pick one. They dig into the food with chopsticks just to annoy Sarah. And since we've never seen Dawson hold a pen properly, I refuse to believe he is a person of chopsticks experience. But he asks Amy the real reason she doesn't want him to see her film. At first, she says it's too personal. And he's like, well, we just fucked. So she admits the truth. Obviously, it's because it stinks on a world historical level. She uses the word stinkage. I will not. And they go on. Clip 13.
You don't think you're being a little hard on yourself?
Oh, no.
Because I've read your reviews. You can be rather relentless.
I wasn't alone in my particular opinion.
So what, you just never wanted to make another one?
Dawson, I love movies. I started faking sick in the third grade just so that I could stay home and watch them.
I started in the fifth.
And now I'm a grown-up who gets paid to watch them all day long.
That sounds great. But you never answered my question, which is, have you ever wanted to make another film?
The first one was such a disaster. Why would I want to do it again?
A very attractive girl once told me that it takes a while for young filmmakers to figure out what they want to say.
What am I going to do? Quit my job and use my credit cards to finance a movie now?
Wouldn't be the first.
I'm not sure I have the same raw talent that you have, Dawson.
How will you know?
I got a LOL at Dawson tacitly agreeing about his raw talent by not contradicting her when she said that about him. Jesus. But there is more. Clip 14.
Filmmaking was something I loved, but I was given a chance to do this job, and it turns out that I'm pretty damn great at it, and that makes me happy. So I left filmmaking behind, and I moved on with my life. Sometimes you just have to let things go like that.
Sounds very smart and practical.
And a little sad.
A little.
Neither of you is old enough to rent a car. Chill out. You want to go back to it? Go back to it.
Yes. And if she decides to change her life because of something a teenager told her, like fucking Karen, I'm going to lose it. Fortunately, yeah. If that happens, we don't find out this is it for Amy.
Oh, good.
I also want to just say, not every critic is a frustrated creator. Thank you very much. And if Amy is smart and has any sense of where media is going, she will cling to this print job with all of her fingers and toes.
My God. Unionize at the Boston Weekly Leader, Bean Eater, whatever the fuck publication is called.
Yep. Back to Pacey, struggling along the sidewalk with Alex's huge ledger books. She comments that there are letters in one of them from people begging the restaurant to stop serving foie gras for animal cruelty reasons, and Pacey scoffs about crazies. So I guess they're both brand new to fine dining, if this seems like a totally fringe concern, but they arrive at Alex's hotel, which Pacey has heard has theme rooms. Alex is, in fact, in the Santa Fe room with Theo, which is the name she's given to the mounted bull's head. Pacey, seeming like he doesn't want to say goodbye, tells her she should really consider taking over what he calls his apartment, offering to let her come see it anytime. She says she'll consider it, saying it's nice to have him as a friend. And then Pacey hugs her, a hug that goes on a dangerously long time, although it's not clear which of them is the one prolonging it because you don't really see either of their faces, clearly. Bad directing.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry Lynn Fenn is presumably standing on an apple box to get her face anywhere near Joshua Jackson's, as you can see in the visual aids, the difference between them in the same frame looking at each other versus them walking up the sidewalk side by side. But Pacey does manage to leave without kissing or getting kissed again. So good job, everybody.
I mean, I don't feel like these actors have any chemistry at all. So Joshua Jackson is trying. And there's nothing wrong with Sherry Lynn Fenn. I just don't feel anything between them. So when they're hugging for 10 minutes, I'm like, if you're waiting for the engine to start, it's not going to fucking start. Nobody wants this. Even you.
No, it's true.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Back in the reading room, Audrey dreamily says that Pacey might be planning a vacation for the two of them. She would love a massage. When Audrey complains that the chair is murder on her butt, Joey slams her book closed, complaining that she can't concentrate with all of Audrey's yammerings. So can she please go drive her boyfriend crazy and save Joey from having to go to Worcester Trade School next year? Joey, if she's here, maybe you can go back to your room where she is not going to be. What the fuck?
Yeah, Jesus. Also, I don't know. It's supposed to be Harvard, right? There's more than one library.
I would
or
think.
Go to the student center or get some earplugs.
Yeah. Audrey explains Joey's outburst to a couple of strangers by saying Joey was in a pup tent with a boy instead of studying. Not a euphemism. And then she takes off. And as soon as her chair is vacant, a manic Jack drops into it, begging Joey to tell him she knows anything about multivariable calculus. And Joey's stare tells us she does not. And then we're back in Amy's place, now in the bedroom, where she and Dawson have apparently just finished another round powered by MSG. Dawson gasping that he's never had a date like this before, and then says this, clip 15.
Can I ask you a question?
You just did.
Oh, good one, Dad.
Are you eight? Is this carpool? What are we doing here?
Hi, hungry. I'm Amy. Go on, clip 16.
What makes a girl decide to spend the night with a guy she hardly knows?
The same things that make a guy want to. Of course, with girls, the deciding factor is usually the shoes.
You decided to sleep with me because of my Skechers?
Yeah, I could tell you were okay. Safe, genuine, a kindred spirit.
A Mr. Car cover?
Loafers.
Interesting.
See, maybe the problem with your girlfriend was just that she didn't appreciate quality footwear. Does breaking up bite or what?
You know what? Wasn't that bad, actually. We're still great friends.
Your friends?
Pretty much the same as before.
I threw a Cuisinart at my boyfriend when we broke up.
I'm not so much the appliance thrower.
Come on, you've never had any knockdown, drag-out fights?
No.
Doesn't sound like there was all that much there with this girl.
What, just because I don't believe in fighting?
She's so immature. Like, being childish, throwing a Cuisinart, that doesn't mean you are passionate. It just means you don't know how to control your emotions.
Yeah. Also, those cost a lot of money. Also, like, I feel for this actor who basically has to disgorge all this, like, the other side of the Chautauqua so that we can find out how Dawson is feeling. Like, if he's supposed to be studying for finals, do it that way. Like you did it in season one with Mr. Gold.
Yeah. Anyway. I would also say just because Dawson didn't fight with Jen doesn't mean he won't fight. There was a meltdown at a dance that I can recall, for example.
And in a kitchen.
Amy says this, clip 17.
You are a passionate guy, Mr. Leary. The secret is out. And someday you are going to meet someone who drives you absolutely mad, who you are going to fight with and laugh with and do totally insane things for. Someone who turns your life wildly upside down.
I think I've already met that person.
Really? Why aren't you with her?
Bad timing, I suppose. I had a chance a while back and I blew it, and then she just kind of, I guess, felt the same way you did about your life and moved on.
How do you know that?
She spent the night with another guy. What?
Nothing.
Why are you laughing at me?
It's funny. I mean, you're so convinced that she's moved on. Because why? She's with another guy?
Yeah.
Well, you're spending the night with me. Does that mean that you've moved on?
I mean, the one thing I'll get, I don't want him to get back together with Joey. I feel like I've been quite clear about that. But I do appreciate that the show is giving voice to the idea that, like, you can fool around with someone and it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
That said, get us out of here. But also, LOL at the pop song dropping out for the plinky piano when things get serious. When Jack trudges into Grams's house at around 2 a.m., as we're about to hear, Grams asks where he's been, not charging his cell phone, I guess. He grumbles about calculus being beyond Joey's capacity to help before Grams says, we have been waiting for him, but it's not Mr. Smalls. As I already said, it's not gay or maybe gay Eric sitting at the dining room table surrounded by study materials. Jack is suspicious, but Eric just says he heard Jack needed some help and Grams nudges Jack in to get it. Help, not it. Although, who knows where the evening may go.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pacey's in the shower. In case social media is wondering, he does wash his legs. You can see that in the visual aids. When the doorbell buzzes insistently, he gets out and gets like dressed in a shirt and pants instead of just like throwing on a robe before finally answering the door to Alex, who was sitting alone in her hotel room when she decided to take Pacey up on his offer to tour the apartment, of course. Clip 18.
Alex, it's nearly 2 a.m.
Yeah, but I mean, you said you were a night owl like I am, and you walked me home like an hour ago. I just figured, what? Oh my God, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, you know what? It's not okay. I misjudged this whole thing again. I'm leaving. I feel terrible.
There's nothing for you to feel terrible about.
Yes, there is. Okay, here you have this life, this great, wonderful life, and I keep imposing myself on it.
You are not imposing.
I mean, she is, but this is a careful setup to get him to affirm her and do what she wants, mm-hmm. is A. But B, what is this accent, Fenzi? What are we doing?
Alex says again that she's going to leave, but Pacey insists it's okay and offers her a drink, although all he has is water and orange juice. Clip 19.
Well, what about the champagne? I mean, if you want to.
Sure. I guess a little champagne between colleagues never hurt.
You know, Pacey Witter, you are such a doll. I have so much respect for you having the strength not to act on this thing.
And what thing would that be?
You know, the thing, this heat. I felt it tonight when you hugged me. I felt it that time when we kissed.
Audrey's at the door, but they don't know that.
You might want to shut the door, Pacey. It'll keep the heat in.
Goodbye.
Okay. Well, good job.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really blame Jack for his terrible advice, I guess, because it is Pacey's fault that he took it. Because if he had just been honest, they would not have ended up here.
Yeah. There's a million other restaurants in Boston. You have no chemistry with this person. She is your boss. She fired your girlfriend. This should have been game over 17 different times. It wasn't. Jack stopped being responsible for this like 20 minutes ago.
So Pacey chases Audrey down outside. Clip 20.
She just dropped by.
Oh, yeah. And you were trying so hard to get her to leave.
It is not what it looks like, all right?
Just go back to your apartment.
Nothing happened.
You kissed her.
She kissed me.
Oh, well, that makes me feel so much better.
And it didn't mean anything.
Which, the hug or the kiss?
Neither.
It meant your arms around her body. It meant her tongue in your throat.
Well, for what it's worth, it was her tongue.
Ah, I don't want to hear about this.
Sorry, stop.
Let go of me.
Just listen to me, will you?
Why should I? You've lied to me.
I didn't tell you because I didn't think it was going to happen again.
Well, you were wrong.
And I didn't think it was right to embarrass her.
What are you talking about, Pacey? This isn't high school. This is your boss hitting on you. If you really wanted to stop it, you could have. And you didn't because you like it. Because you are attracted to her. And it's really obvious to me. If you didn't want her to hit on you again, why didn't you just quit?
Because maybe I need this job. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not exactly rolling around in money here. I can't even afford a place to live. I'm not just some rich college girl who can quit when the mood strikes me.
It's cool. You know what? Screw the girl. Keep your job. Have your cake and eat it, too. It's fine.
It's not a bad point. At least they addressed it in text. Mm-hmm. But, like, he does have different concerns in terms of keeping a job. And it's not just, like, whatever, a reason to throw him into conflict romantically.
Right.
But still, if he got promoted to executive chef at the age of 19, I don't think he'll have a problem writing his own ticket at Chowder House.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Also,
I hate this.
If the restaurant has been bought by a larger company such that there is an employee handbook, like that means there is HR.
Mm-hmm.
So take it up the chain.
Yeah. H yourself some R. Pronto.
So Pacey storms back into the apartment alone, slamming the door behind him, and I assume really delighting all of Danny's neighbors at 2 a.m. After he is torn off and thrown his hoodie, he's surprised to see Alex still there, having poured herself champagne while he was gone, that she's now drinking on the couch because she thought he could use a friend. Putting on a probably partly genuine performance of reluctance, Pacey sits next to her and, clip 21.
You realize that she may never talk to me again.
I told you 19 is too young to be settling down.
I
You're driving me crazy, Alex. You realize that?
Can't help it. I told you I take getting what I want for granted.
I thought you said you were trying to change that about yourself.
I believe that people should listen to their urges.
You're a very determined woman, aren't you?
Everybody already thinks you did it, Pacey, so why not just do it?
I don't think the writing of this episode by Jeffrey Stepakov, author of The Billion Dollar Kiss, is very good, but that her knowing which buttons to push that are going to work on him, like, that was not bad. Maybe she minored in psych.
Yeah, and clearly, like, understands that he will respond to damsel in partial distress shit also.
Yeah. When things get horizontal, they start making out, of course, but then it ends here, clip 22.
God, this is great. Too bad you have to stop.
We have to what?
Stop.
What about the heat?
Well, just knowing that we could do it, it's enough.
It is?
It is. It would just be inappropriate.
Gore is upset.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like setting up some kind of situation where she has more blackmail material over him, where she's like, you know, when he tries to do the same shit she's been doing to him, she can turn it around and give him her a reason to fire him, I assume.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Back in the library, Joey's shocked to see a couple furiously making out in what was formerly her various friend's seat. She snits at them to get a room, mumbling as they glare at her. It is a library. Her delivery on that line was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. They actually did leave, though. So
back at Graham's house, Jack marvels that his prof has been teaching this calc class since at least 1982 and apparently not changing the course at all. Eric guesses calculus probably hasn't changed much in that time. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Jack asks how he managed to sneak all this stuff out, but all Eric had to do was put it in his backpack. If he is discovered, he'll just get expelled from the house. Jack can't believe he would be okay with that, but Eric has heard it's possible to leave a frat and survive, and they go on, clip 23.
How you doing, Miss Eric? Why are you helping me? Because you helped me.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe after you're done studying, you could do some cramming, if you know what I mean.
I don't get it.
I'll explain it when we're done.
Okay.
After some B-roll that is really taking its time, we're back at Amy's, where she is pulling a videotape off the shelf to give Dawson on his way out, clip 24.
Your thesis film?
You know, if this were the third act of a movie, that's exactly what this would be. And you'd watch it, and it would be great, and...
I would give it to one of my professors, who would love it, and give it to one of his students, who now runs a movie studio.
And I'd see my name up on the big screen just a few months later. I would have liked that. Seen my name on the screen just once.
Well, you get to see your name in print quite a lot.
Yes, I sure do. It's What's Up, Tiger Lily.
Woody Allen.
His first, you know it?
No, I don't.
Oh, he took this old Japanese movie and he just replaced the dialogue with his own. It's literally a remake of someone else's picture. Obviously, it's derivative and imitative and full of
unexplored potential.
But if you look at it closely, you can see a glimmer of Annie Hall. The twinkle of Manhattan, the promise of Hannah.
Okay.
I don't know where to start with this. Like, but also, no, you can't. And if you're going to go this route, know what you're talking about and use Take the Money and Run as an example. Like, I don't love being the guy who corrects Dawson's film pretensions or the Dawson's writer's film pretensions with my own even worse ones. But like, you were doing so well. You name checked Diner. You talked about Say Anything. And now we've just gone off a complete cliff.
Yeah. Also, Meredith Salinger works in this industry, and yet the way she delivers all of those titles, I feel like I can tell she has not seen any of them. But
yeah,
whatever.
A twinkle of Manhattan? What?
I don't...
Tell me, what do you think happens in Manhattan?
Dawson thanks her, and then clip 25.
I'll call you when I'm done and we can...
It's a gift.
Translation, I do not want to see you again to return yeah. and goodbye forever.
I have a stack of What's Up Tiger Lilies.
What Amy actually says starts with this, clip 26.
We're both in very different places in our lives, Dawson.
No, you're just in very different places. You don't need the both, Jeffrey Stepakov. Both yeah. as if you were both in the same place. Amy says her life is more predictable and defined than Dawson's. Okay. And she thinks she's not the person he needs to be spending his time with right now. Dawson, based on nothing much, doesn't think her life is as predictable and defined as she thinks it is. Like, would she have predicted a night like this? She doesn't answer, so he kisses her and says he would like to keep in touch. She would like that. Maybe they can catch a movie sometime. And if they do, like we said, it's off screen because that is a series wrap on Meredith Salinger. Bye, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a montage. Joey paces in the reading room, apparently trying to memorize Beowulf. Grams gives Jack a snack in a brown paper bag. He formally nods and then comes back and kisses her on the forehead. Cute.
Yeah, we'll allow it.
Dawson wanders along a waterfront with a wooden railing with a presumably green-screened Boston skyline behind him. You can see this in the visual aids. I guess Jen doesn't have finals because she's not in this episode at all.
Mm-mm.
Pacey sits on Danny's living room floor waiting for Audrey to pick up the phone, but Audrey lets the machine get it, hugging a stuffed bunny. Pacey hangs up and lies on the floor, hating himself, and rightly so. Joey's asleep in her chair when we come back to her, oblivious that Dawson is standing over her with a coffee. She startles awake and is even more startled to see him back. When she asks, he says the movie was fun, inspiring, completely unexpected, and Joey says, lucky you, and I know I dinged him for this earlier, but it's work for him. Don't be a bitch about it. You could be in film school, too, if that's what you wanted. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson asks how the studying's going. She only has a couple of hours left. He gives her the coffee and asks to sit there for a while. And Joey rants on so long about how the world isn't coming at her all night, like her whole semester compressed into one night, that Dawson starts to nod off. Relatable.
Uh-huh.
When she says his name, he wakes up and clip 27.
Jack, can I ask you a question?
You already did.
Do you like my shoes?
Yeah. Why?
Just wondering.
If this was product placement for Skechers, good job telling potential buyers. They might get you laid.
Yeah. Very, very effective.
Let's close things up by naming our episode MVP. You've already said yours, but say it again.
He got it in.
Yep.
He brought Joey a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And diner reference. I mean, there's an argument for other people, but they're also kind of thin on the ground in this episode. And look, mm-hmm. Dawson was not that obnoxious. So Dawson.
I'm going to say Eric, because I think it took a lot of courage to be vulnerable like that with Jack, especially how they left things the last time we saw him. So mm-hmm. good for him if he really is on a path to being more honest about his life.
Yep.
Least valuable player. Alex?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think she might be ill.
Mm.
But you can't really blame a 19-year-old who works for her for, quote, putting himself in the situation or staying in the situation. It's technically, I guess it's Pacey, but mm-hmm. it's really Alex. She should know better, and she doesn't. Next time on Again With This, Professor Wilder says goodbye to teaching. Thank God. Mike Potter apparently said goodbye to incarceration without informing his daughter. Dawson thought he said goodbye to Oliver, but their agent has other ideas. And while Jack and Jen kiss their Costa Rican vacay plan goodbye, Alex may be bidding farewell to sanity. Hot tip, Alex, you won't miss it that much. Plus, insanity rules in all the senses of that word in our call-in episodes. You, dear listener, should leave us a message at 210-767-2237 to talk about any of the shows we've covered or which show should come next, or both. Or send us a note or voice memo by email, hello@againwiththispodcast.com. All that contact info and our visual aids for every episode are on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm proudly room temp, junior mint, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is fearless library shusher Tara Ariano, and she is on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And what our producer David T. Cole needs is help. Talk to you next time.
Do you like my shoes?
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.